There's a fierce debate raging among many Christians about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's our topic, brought to you by White Horse Media. Hello and welcome. This is the beginning of a little series on a big topic called the Trinity Controversy. That's what we're going to be discussing. I'm Pastor Steve Wahlberg, and I am with my good friend, Kim Kerr from, where are you from?
Right now, I'm living not too far away from you.
And the town?
Newport, Washington.
Newport, Washington. Okay. Newport, Washington. I've known Kim for a long time. Kim, we go way back to the days of Amazing Facts, years ago in the 90s, we worked together. I was an evangelist, you were an evangelist, and I got to know your wife, Judy, and your daughter, Annie, and I guess, you know, those were the good old days, weren't
yes,
they?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a blessing to get reacquainted. We've worked together on a number of occasions, and it's wonderful to be a part of God's work, God's people, and to be able to share with others from the scriptures.
So your present home is classified Newport, which is about 10 minutes from here. So you're out kind of in the outskirts of Newport.
Yeah, we're about 20 minutes or so northwest of Newport.
Okay. And we're in Priest River, so we're not far away. And Judy is with you in your home. And
yes.
Annie is, as far as I know,
she's in Idaho.
She's a little east of you. She's the wife of a pastor.
Yes.
In Hayden Lake, is that
yes.
correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, so good to spend this time with you, and I know you've done a lot of research in the topic of the Trinity or the Godhead, and we're going to get into all kinds of issues because, as you know, this is a very hot subject, especially within our own church.
Yes, and it's in many ways unfortunate. You know, we should be working together rather than being divided over some of these topics. We're never really going to fully understand who God is, what His nature is, etc. He's just so far above and beyond us. But yet, we do have what the Scriptures teach about who the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are, and those things are for us.
Right. You can probably relate to this. In the last 5 or 10 years, I've received many letters or emails from individuals. Some of these have been good friends of mine who have become convinced that there's a certain way of understanding the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and if I don't understand it exactly that way, I'm in trouble, spiritually in trouble. And it's been frustrating to me to have people that I've known for a long time who have known, you know, my prayer life and my personal life, and we've been good friends. We've even worked together, that they've become convinced that there's a certain way that I have to understand this topic now, and if I don't, I'm part of the problem. I'm no longer someone that they can trust in or that they can work with. And it's just been frustrating to see this. And my personal conviction, like you said, is that when it comes to the exact details of the nature of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, I think we need to be as united as we can on what the Bible says. But beyond what the Bible says, if there are certain intricate details that may not be specifically laid out in the Word, I don't think those issues should divide us. And if you know, or somebody doesn't see things exactly the same way that I see them, I can live with that. You know, my wife and I have a wonderful marriage. We've been married for almost 23 years. And we don't see eye to eye on every single point in life, but we're still married, we love each other, we get along, we have a wonderful family, and I've just learned that, you know, there's certain things that you just have to live with, you know, that if you don't see everything exactly alike, we leave that to God.
It's still okay.
That's right. It's still okay. And then you just, you know, pray for each other and trust the Lord. And the frustrating thing for me has been that it seems like this issue has become so divisive.
Yes.
In so many circles that if you don't see it exactly this way, like I said, you're almost an apostate.
We cross you off the list.
Yeah, you no longer believe in the Bible. You've left the faith once delivered to the saints. Mm-hmm. And so in this series, what we want to do, the two of us, is just have a friendly conversation. We want to look at issues from the Bible. We hope that this will be something that will be enlightening and clarifying to many people. And we want it to be something that unites us rather than divides us.
Yes, that's I agree.
Right.
It is unfortunate that, you know, we can look at the same Bible, look at the same scriptures, and see them maybe a little bit differently. And then, well, you have to see things exactly as I see them. But my background, my upbringing, how I've studied the Bible influence a little bit how I see things. So I might have a different idea than you do. But, you know, we can still work together. It's not like we're throwing out the plan of salvation or the Sabbath or the state of the dead. This is something where we don't have complete understanding of who God is, what He is like, etc. And so to try and minutely define who God is and what He is and then say, now you've got to see it my way, when God is so powerful and omniscient, and that to come to the place where I have figured God out and I can, you know, put it on a piece of paper, and I think we're just fooling ourselves and not really understanding how big and how awesome God is. When we can put Him in a box, then God ceases to be God.
Right. And God must be, He must always remain shrouded in a certain amount of mystery.
Yes.
Now, there's certain things that we can understand and He wants us to understand, and things that are true in His Word He wants us to hold on to. And we are in a battle between truth and error. It doesn't mean that, you know, anything goes and we should all just come together even if we are poles apart.
Mm-hmm.
That's not
mm-hmm.
what we're saying.
No.
No, the Bible is very clear. There's a spirit of truth. There's a spirit of error. There's
yes.
right. There's wrong. There is deception. There is the truth that Jesus said will set you free. But I think of a verse in Deuteronomy, I think it's Deuteronomy, where the Bible says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which have been revealed, those are the things that belong to us and to our children forever. So we want to hold on to the things that have been revealed. But beyond that, the Bible also says great is the mystery of godliness, that there are things about God that I don't think we'll ever understand. We want to understand as much as we can and come together as much as possible. But there's he's an infinite being, and we just have little teeny finite minds. So we're going to do the best we can.
Amen.
That's right. So let's start, Kim, with a few Bible verses. We're calling this the Trinity Controversy, and we'll discuss the word Trinity itself in a little while. But let's start out with Matthew chapter 3, and let's look up a few verses just to lay the foundation here that the Bible certainly does talk about a Father and a Son and the Holy Spirit. That's very clear. Why don't you read? You have Matthew 3 open there?
I do.
Verses 16 and 17 about Jesus' baptism.
And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Right. And as I look at this passage, what jumps out at me is that there is a Son. It says Jesus, when He was baptized, so there's the Son of God. And then the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, descends like a dove. He comes down, the heavens are open, and the Holy Spirit comes down. And then in verse 17, there's a voice from heaven, which would be who?
Which would be the Father.
Right, the Father. And the Father says, This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So it seems to me that in this verse, we have the Son of God coming out of the water, the Holy Spirit coming down. He's in the middle, and the Father is up above looking down on the scene, and he says, this is my Son, I'm very pleased. So all three of them are there in this
present in the same scene. Yes,
that's right.
And all through the New Testament, all through the Old Testament, you can find scriptures like this that show three persons, if you will, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here we have in Matthew, it's very plain, very easy to see and easy to understand that we have three individuals here, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, now another text, and we're going to discuss this more later as we continue on. We'll look up different scriptures and see what's the controversy and what's the different views of different people. But Matthew 28 is a similar passage. And this was after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Right before he went to heaven, he met with his disciples. And these are the last three verses of Matthew 28. Now, verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So not only was Jesus baptized and the Holy Spirit came down and the Father spoke from heaven, but before Jesus went back to heaven, he gave a commission to his disciples to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, when I first became a Christian in 1979, I started reading the Bible for the first time in my life, and then in God's providence, I got a hold of this book, The Desire of Ages, and which is on the life of Jesus. He's the desire of all ages, and I read this book cover to cover, and I didn't really understand all of the details about the nature of the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit, but I saw Jesus' love, especially in Gethsemane and on the cross, and that's what really reached my heart. I was, I have a Jewish background. I'm very secular. As a teenager, I got lost in the world of drugs and Hollywood and the wild living, the concerts, the rock and roll, and all of that. And then when I was 20 years old, I read the Bible and I read The Desire of Ages, and I learned about Jesus, my Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And I accepted him into my heart, and the Lord changed my life.
He
took me out of all that. He forgave my sins, changed my life, changed my heart, put me on a path which eventually led to the ministry. And like I said, I didn't understand all the details, but I knew that I had a Father. I knew that God was there, and I knew that Jesus Christ was my Savior. And I experienced the power of the Holy Spirit come into my life and change me. And mm-hmm. so without understanding all the intricacies, that was what compelled me to go into the ministry and to eventually become a pastor and a teacher and evangelist and now the director of White Horse Media and a writer. Was because God was good and Jesus was my Lord and my Savior, and the Holy Spirit was working with me and is still working with me and leading me on to help other people to know his love and his forgiveness and his goodness. And it was a wonderful thing. And
yes.
Like I said, even though I didn't understand all the details, I knew there was a Father, there was a Son, a Holy Spirit. I was baptized. I became a Christian. And it's been quite a journey since then.
Yeah. And when we look through the scriptures, there's not really any, I mean, whatever side of the controversy people are on, everyone agrees that there's three at least entities. There's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. Where the controversy gets into is what's their nature? What, you know, where do they come from? And are they just not really an actual person? It's not so much their number, so to speak, but what's their nature? What's the makeup? That's where the controversy comes in.
Yeah, well, I in dialoguing with somebody recently about this very thing, this particular person agreed that, yes, there is a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit, but their view was that there aren't really three, there's really two. The Holy Spirit is really the Son in a different form. And we can get into that. It was more of a duo view instead of a trio view. And we'll get into all these things, but maybe you can just give us, I know you've done a lot of study in history. I've got my niche in history. You've got yours. Give us just a kind of a quick overview of when the disciples went out and they preached and churches were raised up. And as you start going down through the history of the church, the whole issue of the Trinity, at least that word became quite an issue. So give us a quick recap of what happened historically.
In the New Testament, Paul, Peter, all the apostles, whenever they were writing to the churches or talking, preaching, they all understood God. We have a God that's the Father. We have His Son, Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. There wasn't really any controversy so much in the scriptures. That was later on. And Paul warned in Acts chapter 20 that there was going to come people who would come into the church and who would cause division and draw away disciples after them. So we Paul understood that there were going to arise within the church some problems. He himself, even in his day, had to correct some of those, and that's why we have some of the letters that we have, Galatians and Corinthians,
etc. There were controversies within, like the controversy between Jesus and the Pharisees about how to keep the Sabbath. That was a controversy. There was a controversy in the book of Acts and Galatians about whether Gentile Christians need to be circumcised. There was a controversy in 1 Corinthians 8 and Romans 14 about eating or not eating food sacrificed to idols. So there were controversies within the New Testament itself. But as far as the kind of controversies that people are experiencing today over the Trinity and the nature of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, it doesn't seem like that was really on the front burner in the early church.
And there was a lot of persecution. The Roman Empire, persecuting Christians. Nero, Diocletian, Trajan, etc., those Roman emperors, there was a lot of persecution. But as that waned, as the persecution kind of died off, and the gospel had spread down to Egypt and up over into Turkey and Greece and those areas, more controversial points began to take place.
Especially
during the time of Constantine. So there was a gentleman who was the bishop of Alexandria. His name was Alexander. He was the bishop of Alexandria, and he was preaching a sermon one day trying to talk about the unity of the Father and the Son. And there was a gentleman who heard that sermon whose name was Arius. And Arius decided this is heretical. This is not the way it is. And so he began to put forth his ideas of who the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were. So he understood that Christ, was he divine or was he not? The Father, yes, was unbegotten, but Christ was begotten. So at some point he had a beginning, and then the Holy Spirit was just some kind of influence or power.
So Arius interpreted, because the Bible, Jesus said that God gave his only begotten Son,
yes,
which is true. But so Arius interpreted begotten to mean that he had a beginning at some point.
Yes, there was a time when the Father was and the Son wasn't.
Okay.
His ideas spread quite rapidly, and it brought a crisis in the church because there were some, of course, who was saying no. Jesus is eternal with the Father, and the Holy Spirit, is a third person. And so this began to clash. Well, Constantine didn't want to have these problems in his realm. He didn't want to have the division within the church.
Right. He was the first quote-unquote Christian emperor.
Yes.
He ended persecution.
Yes.
He wanted to strengthen Christianity in the empire because it felt like it was better than paganism or stronger than paganism as far as a glue to help the empire come together. And then all of a sudden he was struggling with the fact that there's different views among this Christian group about the nature of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
So he called a council. The very first Christian council was at Nicaea in 325 AD. And people from all over the empire came to this city, Nicaea, and that was one of the huge topics there, is how do we define who God is? And so they came up with an idea, there's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit, but they still did believe that at some point in the past, Jesus came forth from the Father. So he emanated from the Father.
That's how they interpreted only begotten.
Yes. But Arius thought that Jesus was begotten in time. The others, Anastasius and the council, thought that Jesus was begotten outside of time, back in eternity before creation. So that, therefore, they could say he always was, he was always with the Father, because there's no time. Yet he still came forth from the Father. The Father gave him some kind of existence. So in the Nicene Creed, there's the phrases, true God from true God, light from light. In other words, Jesus is the light, but he's from the light. He's given some kind of existence. A little later on, about 60 years later in 381, they had another council called the Council of Constantinople. And there they solidified the idea of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but that Jesus still was someone who was given existence, given life by the Father, back in
eternal
ages, yes. So there was still that understanding, and it's still the understanding today. When you get down to who's the next guy after... you know, you have his name begins with A as well. There's Arius and Alexander and Anastasius and
Athanasius?
Augustine. So when you get down to Augustine, he has the same idea. You know, he put the same as Constantinople and Nicaea, that Jesus was somehow emanated from the Father way back in eternity before creation or before time. And that has followed down through. And that's the same idea that the Catholic Church holds today. You can go to their website, Vatican website.
So say it again, in a nutshell, Constantine and these councils led to a certain understanding of the Catholic Church, which they called the Trinity.
Yes.
And again, what was that specific understanding?
The specific understanding was God is the Father, the Son is the actual birthed, begotten Son of God, that there was a point in time. They say it's way back in eternity, and so he always was, but still he's given existence by the Father. It's called eternal generation. It's kind of an oxymoron. If it's eternal, there's no beginning, but generation has the idea of something started, you know, a beginning like Genesis. So it's this eternal beginning. So it's kind of confusing. But that's why they say it's a mystery, you can't understand it. And of course, it's not in the scriptures. But that's how they saw things. The Father, the Son, who was somehow given existence, and then the Holy Spirit. And that's still...
And how did they understand the Holy Spirit?
They understood the Holy Spirit. I'm not quite positive on that, so I don't want to say, but they believe that the Holy Spirit emanates from both the Father and the Son. So Jesus comes forth from the Father, given existence. The Holy Spirit now comes forth from
both of them.
Both of them, yes. So he kind of has a derivative life as well as Jesus does.
So what about the idea, I've heard that one of the views is that there's really only one being, mm-hmm. Which is the Father, and that Jesus is sort of he's a manifestation of the one being, and then the Holy Spirit is also a manifestation of one being. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are not three beings, they're just one being with three heads.
Yes, and you see that in some of the pictures that are Catholic pictures. You know, you'll see one body and three heads. And this is some of the things that people today just go, how do you do that? You know, if Jesus came to this earth and he's the express image of his Father's person, then how can he be one person? You know, they're two, Father, Son, or three rather, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If he's the express image of the Father's person, when you look back at the Old Testament, you see that the Father has a face, he has hands, he has arms, he has a back. You know, we're made in his image as well. So there's somehow that God, while he's the Father, while he's a spirit, yet at the same time, Jesus is the express image. And so he has, for lack of a better term, body parts as well.
So it's pretty clear that when you look at Christian history, things have gotten very confusing.
Very confusing, yeah,
I mean, in the Bible, it's not so confusing.
No.
But in Christian history, there's been all these debates about the nature of the Son, the nature of the Holy Spirit, the nature of the Father, and those debates have continued to this day. And what we hope to do in this series, the Trinity Controversy, is ultimately get back to the book. And we will be doing this in the next program and the one after that. We're going to ultimately go back to the Bible and see, what does the Bible say? God doesn't want us to be divided over this. He doesn't want us to be confused about this. We obviously can't understand everything, but there are basic pillars that we can understand from his word about who we worship, about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible. So that's our focus. We hope that this series, this Trinity Controversy, will bring light, not heat, but truth, and it'll be a blessing to you. So join us again when we come back to discuss this more.
We hope you enjoyed this video. Before you go, check out these wonderful books for sharing. The Truth About the Sabbath is packed with information for anyone wanting to understand the Sabbath subject. Also, the 666 beast identified. What it means to you identifies both the beast and his strange number 666. What do the beast and his number have to do with you? Both are available in paperback and ebook versions from White Horse Media.
And now for some breaking news. White Horse Media has just launched its new free online Bible school, Thunder in the Holy Land, filmed in Israel to help you and others discover the true teachings of God's Word. Jesus is coming soon, and a wonderful adventure awaits those who embark on this journey. Time is so short, and God's Word is needed as never before. To learn more, visit WhiteHorseMediaBibleSchool.com. That's WhiteHorseMediaBibleSchool.com. You'll be glad you did.